This is the Gas House Gang on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, a Daikin Comfort dealer. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis, Chesterfield Fence and Deck, and Budweiser.
Now, the Gas House Gang on KMOX.
Let's go, Cardinal Baseball against the New York Mets. You know, when I was visiting with the Mets broadcasters down in spring training, there was some concern that they were going to be wearing winter coats in St. Louis on March 30th. That is not the case. What a fantastic, fantastic day for baseball it is, just like it was on opening day. I know you didn't like that heat. You weren't anticipating liking that heat.
Oh, 91 at first pitch?
I'm here to tell you it was great, especially if you were in the shade. It was a great day. It felt like Cardinal baseball.
Well, because the stupid St. Louis humidity hadn't hit us yet.
Boom. Boom, my friend. You did not have that. The temperature is a little different in the shade. Now, those that had to sit in that sun for most of the game probably felt that heat. But, man, that was fun. That was just a great few days at Busch Stadium. Even the loss yesterday, they still started coming back. I mean, it's 6-1. I said, here we go. Now the Cardinals are going to feel it. Now Dustin May gives up 6 runs, and the Cardinals are going to start feeling it. Nope. Jordan Walker, of all people, hits a home run to make it 6-4. And
three they start hits yesterday.
Putting heat on him again. And they ended up losing the game. The bullpen gave up late runs. And they lost the game 11-7. But even that game was entertaining. Cardinals win 2 out of 3. They have the Mets for 3. Let's see what happens. I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen with this team this year. None. I don't think they're going to go win the World Series. But by gosh, they're entertaining at least through 3 games.
Just be fun. I think that's what you're supposed to be in 2026, knowing the situation the team is in, the rebuild, call it that, don't call it that, I don't care. But that's kind of what's been going on here. They are not necessarily starting from scratch, but they are trying to redo a lot and trying to fix a lot organizationally. So for this year, just play some fun baseball, because this past weekend was every bit of that. It went the opposite of the way we've kind of projected the season to go, which is they're going to struggle to score runs, but they're probably going to pitch pretty well. Or we think they're going to pitch pretty well. We think the bullpen's going to be all right. We think the rotation will be all right. They just will struggle to scratch runs across the plate. This whole weekend was the exact opposite of that. So I think once you get to, you know, the middle of May, probably we'll start to see more of what we predicted, I think. But for an opener, I will take 2 of 3. I will take a great weekend at Busch. I mean, I'll take that 100 times out of 100. I'm just kind of glad to get it going. And I do think this version of the Cardinals is going to play some interesting baseball this year. And a lot of it will be because of guys like J.J. Weatherholt, who led off, and he's already making an impact on the team. And we can also hope that Jordan Walker keeps it up, because he's off to a good start too.
I thought the fans were great all 3 games. I thought that they gave the team life, and that they start to understand what this is all about. And the ones that came to the games, and there was a huge crowd on opening day and a respectable crowd Saturday. Sunday, I was at the game, I thought was good.
Almost 28,000 on Sunday.
I
yesterday.
Thought that They just get it. I don't even know which other way to put it. And it also felt really good to see so many people milling about downtown. I was told that downtown is dead and nobody comes down here. It started 10 days ago. Iowa State, Purdue, Kentucky, Mizzou, and other teams. But those fans were at Enterprise Center and they had a blast downtown. Everybody was having a good time. Then the Battlehawks, by the way, along with 3 straight games at Busch Stadium, drawing in thousands, tens of thousands of people, they bring in 35,000 plus. The Blues, 3 straight home games, they're bringing in people left and right. There were a lot of people milling about downtown. On one day, you had 3 teams playing on the same day.
Mm-hmm.
Battlehawks, then Cardinals, then Blues. I was told St. Louis doesn't have people downtown. It certainly looked that way to me. So let's keep that going. Let's enjoy ourselves. Let's keep this place bustling with people, because it was an absolute thrill to see downtown streets filled, especially Thursday.
Well, we do events well here. The NCAA tournament from a week ago was a success. The city handled that perfectly. We saw the economic boon that happened as a result of it, over $50 million in economic value coming into the city. which is fantastic. And I believe you guys talked about it on Total Information today. That was the best that any city did, right? In terms of economic impact from having March Madness here in town. So St. Louis does sporting events very, very well. It has historically done them well. I guess, unfortunately for us, it is one of the only things that does get people downtown is if there is a Cardinals or a Blues game or concert. Battlehawks or City or yeah, a concert. But when those happen, we nail it.
We sure do. You want it else to happen? Illinois State advanced.
Oh, the Redbirds, they're in the NIT. Hold on. I feel bad, even though I don't have much of a rooting interest in the Illini.
Illini fans are mad at me right now because I just mentioned your team first, but I'm getting to them.
Is that why you did it?
I did it for you.
Oh, thank you, man. We're in the NIT.
You're my guy.
Hey, look at us. Final
Dude,
four.
You're playing Auburn.
I know. Beat Wake Forest. Beat Dayton.
You can beat Auburn.
Better beat Auburn.
Or what?
Beat those pearls over and beat the pearls off them.
Okay, so now to the Illini. This is a really good basketball team that can win the national championship. Let me start right there. This is the first Illinois team to get to the Final Four since the 05 team that went to the Dome, and before that was 89. And everybody knows that 89 team is one of the great college basketball teams ever. No one's won a national championship at Illinois. Brad Underwood's in his dream job and has pushed this team for years to get to this point. Now here they are. They've beaten a hot VCU team. They beat Houston in Houston. That's the game that you knew it was possible. And then they beat the Iowa team that had all kinds of momentum, and they just beat them up. Imposed their will on them, beat them on the glass, beat them in the paint. Now they play UConn, a team that just pulled off one of the dramatic, unbelievable wins I've ever seen in a college basketball game. And watch out. This Illinois team can beat them. They will have to fight Terrace Reed Jr., the kid from St. Louis who played at Chaminade for 3 years. He was a big difference in that Duke game against a bigger Duke team. But I wouldn't doubt this Illinois team for a second. Now, I don't know if they can beat Arizona or Michigan, get to that when you get to it. But I love the idea of Illinois fans getting the jump a day early on Indianapolis and buying a bunch of tickets and having a blast in Indy. And I hope they do it. I really do. I hope they pull it off. It'd be great. A lot of Illinois friends who have spent their whole lives hoping.
Yeah.
And it'd be pretty special.
It would be something. And I don't think it would be that extraordinary if they do it. And by extraordinary, I mean it wouldn't be that surprising, considering there was a long time this season we were legitimately talking about the Illini as a potential one seed going into the tournament. They could have been. I mean, it didn't play out that way the last month or so, but they were legitimately in that conversation, and they probably should have been a two. And I just would not be surprised if they end up winning the whole thing. My guy Brent Stover at CBS Sports Network, we talked to him, was it 2 weeks ago?
How's Stover doing?
Stove's the best.
Yeah.
So we were talking to him a couple of weeks ago, right before the tournament started, and he was talking about how he put his bracket out and he was getting just absolutely destroyed by people because he had Illinois winning the whole thing. And people were just all burying him for that awful take.
Why?
Well, that's what I'm saying. And that's what I'm saying. I think they were probably underseeded. I think they're better than a three. Duke is out now. So it would not surprise me whatsoever if they do it. That is a very good team. And they're all like 35 years old. So they're all 35 and from Europe. Why shouldn't they win the whole thing?
Yeah. Greg Amsinger is coming up next.
That's right.
One last thing I want to say is that I'm happy that Josh Schertz is back. I think people can kind of get off his back a little bit. He never said 100% that he was not going to look anywhere. He always said that it would have to be an amazing situation to consider it. And I believe, without having talked to Josh, but I did talk to Chris May yesterday, I think it wasn't NC State interviewing Josh as much as Josh interviewing NC State. If they're interested in him, he said, okay, you're interested in me, so let's talk about it. What do you have? Can you do this better than SLU? Can you do this? No, you can't. I'm out. And he came back. I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it. Like, let's not freak out about it.
This is how college basketball goes. And this is the life of being a fan of a mid-major, is that you're going to have coaches who do well, and you can pretty much expect that after a year or two of that, they're going to be gone. That's the life. And it only the timing of it would have sucked had he taken the NC State job. The timing of it would have been brutal in that here he is just talked to all of us. We had him on last week, and he talked about signing his extension and how happy he is to be in St. Louis. And then for that to happen, the relief to settle in with Billiken's fans and then have him go somewhere else, that'd be a pretty pretty bad rug pull. But thankfully, he's here. The reality is, though, at some point, he's not going to be.
It was
just hopefully it's not anytime soon.
It was a weekend. We didn't even get to everything, but it was a great weekend of sports. That's for sure. All kinds of stories going. The Blues finally turned it on. They find themselves in the playoff race. This is crazy.
Now back to the Gas House Gang,
sponsored by Salinka Heating and Cooling and by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis, Chesterfield Fence and Deck, and Budweiser
on 104.1 FM KMOX.
Well, look at this. The Gas House Gang is back, and it's Lindenwood University's very own Greg Amsinger. This is a momentous occasion. I didn't get to do this last week because I was traveling from Florida. Now with Chris Ranji, Tom Ackerman, Greg Amsinger on the show. We're going to do this every Monday, dude. I love this. How are you?
Hey, man. This is your brainchild. You were motivated to bring me on, and we obviously worked together years ago. I was on the other side of the glass. You were the radio star, and now here we are again years later. It's weird because everyone else ages, but the two of us don't, Tom. It's very odd.
I do my best. You know what? I think I'm having fun. I think that's the key to all of it. And I know you're having fun at MLB Network, and I know that you do it on the air, but there's some chatter going on in the background from you about these St. Louis Cardinals. They're entertaining. You're letting everybody know about it.
Let me tell you, we had a conversation. I was doing the breakout series in Jupiter, and you and I sat in the booth, caught up, had a wonderful conversation. And I really think when a bunch of humans, talented athletes that are humans, are playing on the same side of the rope, you're going to get the most out of their athleticism. It just feels like everyone is on the same page in the organization. And to me, that leads to the very best. Now, I don't know if that means they're going to be in the playoffs. But if anyone thinks this is a team that's going to lose 90 plus games and they're blowing it up, that is not what's going on in St. Louis. This is a competitive group of younger players. It's not a bunch of first year players, younger players that have dirt in their spikes that are all ready to take that next step at the same time. So some won't, some will. We're seeing bright spots early on, but this is much more of an optimistic season that I think many people nationally are giving the Cardinals credit for.
One of those bright spots early on, J.J. Weatherholt, we talked about him earlier, having an immediate impact on the team. He has contributed in their first two wins out of the three games they've played, and he was a part of both of them.
You know, I'm blessed here at MLB Network. I get to have my hands in who we get as guests on the national pregame show. So here I am in my office. Obviously, my bias is behind me. I've got Cardinal stuff everywhere. And I wanted to interview J.J. Weatherholt. So I talked to our producers, Chris Collins, Chris Rollbeck. They made it happen. So 6 p.m. Eastern, J.J. Weatherholt will join us on the national pregame show. I want to talk to him. And we've got a former Gold Glove second baseman, Harold Reynolds, on the show, who's going to talk about some three very interesting plays that J.J. made at second base. And what you're seeing is baseball IQ oozing out of him. We love the bat. We know that's what he is. I've got a comp form. I'll give it to you a little later. But I think opening day, he made a play up the middle. You guys saw it. Backhand, terrific throw, awesome. Then he made a flip play second game. I think it was an errant throw. Burleson couldn't grab it. I think it ended up being an error. Tough play, right? Bang, bang play. Chandler Simpson's running down to first base. And then yesterday, hot shot right at him. Played it like a third baseman. Knocked it down and didn't charge it because he knew he had a shortstop's arm. So he waited back. They initially called him safe. They went and looked at instant replay. They overturned it, and his arm was able to get him at first base. Harold's going to walk through all the reasons why he's not just going to be a serviceable second baseman, but J.J. Weatherholt could be a Gold Glove level second baseman, which is only going to add to what St. Louis is doing right now. You put Mason Winn, who's as good as it gets in short. You put Weatherholt, who, if Harold's right, could be a Gold Glove level second baseman, and Victor Scott's catching everything in center field. That's the recipe for a terrific defensive ball club. So it's more than just the bat right now. My comp, man, you take Tommy Herr with power, mix it eventually with some Chase Utley pop, and that's what you could dream on with J.J. Weatherholt.
Boy, I think he, you know, with Chase Utley's a big name, but I think he is on that track at least through three games. It's early. But you talk about a marketable player, and they need some, don't they? He is one of them. I think there will be others that will follow, and already the Mason Wynn train started last year, but he is as marketable as it gets at the moment.
And there's something to be said about a guy who's just taking on the spotlight. Everyone else can relax when this kid, who knows everyone's watching him and everyone's buzzing when he comes up to the plate, when he has an opportunity for his first walk-off hit and he swings the first pitch, gets a knock and wins the game in extras. When he's the one that early on there was buzz about, he makes the team, is he going to make the team? Everyone's staring at him and he's thriving. Everyone else can just play baseball. And that's that tiny little next layer of a great player. They love the spotlight. And when you've got a guy that can do that, Albert Pujols loved it from the second he showed up. Did not mind if everyone watched him. He'll take the heat. He'll take the accountability if they lose. J.J. Weatherholt's got that wise beyond his years kind of vibe. And I know we're singing his praises off the charts right now, but I was hosting the MLB draft the night he was selected in the first round. And I'm telling you right now, there was a consensus among all of us that work on that draft for months and months leading up to it. Cardinals got the best player in that draft. They got the number one pick in our eyes. And you're seeing why early on.
So if that's the case where he is taking a lot of the attention and allowing other younger players to just kind of go out there and do their jobs, what sort of effect, if any, does that have on Jordan Walker, who also had a really good opening weekend?
My goodness, that home run, he's out in front in a breaking ball. That was all arms that he hit to straightaway center field for a three-run bomb. His at-bats are terrific. He's taking a lot of pitches. His chase is down. It's eerily similar. I know this is a crazy comparison, but I'm thinking of like that physically large hitter, right? When Aaron Judge doesn't chase, there's no hitter better in the sport. When Aaron Judge's eyes give him the restraint to not chase the breaking ball in the outer third, he's almost impossible to pitch because he can reach everything. His barrel can reach everything. Jordan Walker's got that same upside. Now, I know it's crazy to compare him to Aaron Judge. I get that. But we're talking about a physical specimen who's got bat speed for days. He can get out in front of a breaking ball and hit a ball to straightaway center field at Busch Stadium with just his arms for a three-run shot. That is a unique skill set that not everyone on this team has. I see him hitting in the seventh spot in the lineup. I think eventually you're going to see him creeping up because his confidence looks outstanding. It's the best he's looked. And I know it's the first weekend. I get it. Totally understand that. But the Tampa Bay Rays are a spin-heavy organization. They love breaking balls. They bullpen you to death. And I just loved every one of his at-bats. I thought he was competitive from jump. And it looks like guys like Jordan Walker, Victor Scott are off to as good a start as you could dream of in St. Louis.
What is the read on the New York Mets? The opponent starting tonight, Greg, they finished only 5 wins better than the Cardinals last year after all of the payroll and everything and all the hype about them.
It's a complete overhaul of their lineup. I mean, 5 new players in their starting lineup. What David Stearns did, it was out of this world. I mean, is Jorge Polanco really going to be a cleanup hitting first baseman? I don't know. You kept Lindor, you kept Soto, you kept Vientos, you got Beatty. They expect him to be good. But I just think when you overview and overlook the consistency of a guy like Pete Alonso, to know you got 30 to 40 and 100 RBIs every single year he plays every day, to not value that is going to come back to bite you. So whoever's sitting behind Juan Soto, that's going to be the biggest story. And right now they're booing Bo Bichette already. One series and they're booing Bo Bichette in Flushing, Queens. I don't think Bo Bichette's going to be a 30 homer, 100 RBI guy. I don't think that's in him. So now he's playing third base. He's out of position in my eyes. Francisco Lindor's off to a chilly start. Luis Robert could end up being comeback player of the year. I've always believed in the talent. Had a big home run over the weekend. I think they got something there. But other than that, I really don't. If there was a manager, I know this sounds like, you know, very hyperbolic and I'm trying to move the needle. No. If there was a manager that's on the hot seat for the first 2.5 months of this season, Mendoza of the Mets is that guy. They better play well. If the Mets aren't playing well with that payroll and the moves he made, Stearns is not going to blame himself. he's going to blame somebody. Someone else is going to wear it, and it's going to be the manager. So just keep in mind, the pressure for the Mets is on right now.
ABS challenge system has led to a couple of pretty great moments. There was C.B. Buckner getting shown up, and I think the fans really in Cincinnati liked that. There was an ejection that happened within the Twins game because of ABS. How do you think it's gone so far, and do you like it?
You know, I love it. I love it. Love it. Human error should not be deciding the outcome of games, okay? To me, it's eerily similar to the pitch clock. We didn't know what that would look like. It was a big story for the first week or two of the Major League Baseball season when that was implemented. Then we forgot about it. Remember, all the broadcasts had the pitch clock on the screen, and then they did away with it because the players are just on it. And there'll still be a couple violations, but it's not earth-shattering when there are. To me, I think the ABS challenge is going to become minimized. Why? Because umpires are really going to have to get better at it. I mean, there's just no other way to
lock it in. Yeah.
They're going to be shown up.
Yeah.
So in my eyes, we're 2 weeks away from really not even talking about it anymore. The Derek Shelton getting tossed, the manager of the Minnesota Twins, because Ryan Helsley decided to challenge, even though his catcher didn't. I don't know why he was confused by that, because the rules state if it's done immediately, the pitcher can take part in that, and Brian Helsley did not look into the dugout to get that sign to challenge the pitch. He was surprised his catcher wasn't doing that, and Adley did it earlier in the at-bat. So I think it's off to a terrific start. There are some old-school umpires that are going to get shown up. It's going to happen. They're going to have to get better. Or there are minor league umpires that have been doing this for a long time, and they're chomping at the bit to get their opportunity in the big leagues. So the numbers matter. You're going to see catchers' percentages. You're going to see hitters' percentages, who's challenging at the highest level, who's not challenging at the highest level. It's just giving us another layer of context in the heated battle of Major League Baseball, which I just think adds to this wonderful sport.
It's more theater. I love it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yep.
Cards and Mets tonight at Busch Stadium. Before the game, flip on MLB Network, because Greg Amsinger has J.J. Weatherholt on the show today. That's fantastic.
What did you say? The timing's pretty great.
6 Eastern, 5 Central?
That's right. Give me a question. Hey, Tom, give me a question I should ask J.J. Weatherholt.
How many different elements were sprayed on you after you...
in the beer shower.
Yeah. In the shower.
What? Beer's fine, not juice.
There was a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. Ketchup and mustard and, all that. I think there was a lot going on there.
So. Yeah, the video is priceless, and the poor kid had his hands like over his eyes.
Also,
that's a good question. Also, we'll pull that video, Tom. Thank you.
And the other one is that he sings to himself his walk-up song when he comes up to the plate. He says it calms him, or it gets him focused. Something along those lines. Maybe get into that a little bit.
Oh, I love that. I'll have Dan Plesac sing Paula Abdul "Opposites Attract," and because I think that would be his walk-up song. Because he's on with Harold Reynolds every day, which they're polar opposite. A really funny thing to pay attention to. I know we got to go. But the show that I've been doing for a very long time with Harold and Dan, pay attention to this. They don't speak to each other. They don't talk to each other. Half my brain is cool guy Harold. The other half is corny Midwestern funny guy Dan. And they just share time through my brain. They don't ever talk to each other.
Wow.
It's the weirdest. A psychiatrist should be on the set to watch this show.
I love this. As we take Greg Amsinger through the Gas House Gang season, we're going to learn a lot about what goes on behind the scenes.
That's right.
On MLB Network. I love that. We want to take people behind the curtain. That's part of the show. Thank you, buddy.
There you go.
Have a great rest of your day. We appreciate you very much.
You guys are awesome. See you guys next week.
Greg Amsinger, MLB Network, with us on the Gas House Gang on KMOX. Mike Claiborne is standing by. We're going to talk to the Cardinals broadcaster about what's happening with the club. It's going to be a hot one at Busch Stadium. Chris Ranji is going to give you the weather here momentarily on KMOX.
Now, the Cardinals Conversation on KMOX. Sponsored by Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we've got Missouri covered.
The pitch to Weatherholt is grounded to the right side, base hit! The Cardinals tie it! Here comes Jordan Walker! The play at the plate, not in time! The Cardinals walk it off with rookie J.J. Weatherholt coming through in the bottom of the 10th inning. The Cardinals win it by a score of 6-5. How about that ending?
You know who else had a great series besides J.J. Weatherholt? Ricky Horton. Ricky Horton had some calls.
Oh,
man.
He had really Jordan's good home run.
He was excellent
yesterday. Yep.
New season, new lineup. I get Greg Amsinger and I get Mike Claiborne. Now I get to do the Gas House Gang with Claibs. How are you, Claibs?
I'm doing well. How about you guys?
Doing awesome. That was fun, wasn't it? I mean, they're an entertaining club. They are.
Well, you know, it was interesting. All the things that we were looking at in spring training, we saw come to fruition in a very short period of time. We watched Victor Scott work on his bunting. We watched J.J. Weatherholt learn how to play second base and just see how consistent he'd be with the strike zone. We saw and heard about Jordan Walker's time in the hitting lab. And all the things we saw and we heard in the spring, we all saw over one weekend for the most part, with the exception of maybe some of the guys out of the bullpen. But I thought overall it was a win-win weekend.
This is the most generic of questions, but because we've already covered, you know, J.J. and Jordan and the crowds and everything, but that opening weekend, Claibs, is there a thing that really stands out to you?
Boy, the energy. I thought that they never counted themselves out. Think about last year when they were down by a few runs. There just wasn't enough offense to be found. Different ways this weekend to be able to generate offense. When you score, six runs, an average of six runs in every game, I mean, that's pretty good for a team that doesn't have that designated punch yet. Now, obviously, you have Alec Burleson and Yvonne Herrera who've shown flashes of it and probably been more consistent than some other guys. But when you start to see everyone else making a contribution some way, shape, or form, that's what I think is going to make this a fun ball club.
I agree. And I think one of the silver linings of this team is you get to play manager a little bit. They're asking, Lauren wants to know, is Holly going to be on the show like we had last year? He is. He's going to be on the show tomorrow. And it's fun, isn't it, Claibs? I mean, you get to, like, right out of the gate, we were like, ooh, Mason Wynn, a cleanup. Is this a spring training lineup or is this? So why are they doing that? And then Ollie explained himself and you thought, actually, that makes sense. Left, right, avoid the double play. I got it.
Yeah, and those are the little things I think that we don't take into account as fans, where they've gone to page 4 and 5 as far as reasons that are needed in order to make certain moves. And you know, let's face it, they have the information, they have the experience, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But in most cases, they put themselves in a position to succeed.
What is your, as we just begin this season and still a bunch of games to go here, almost all of them, what is the thing that the Cardinals most need to accomplish in 2026, as far as you're concerned?
Learn how to play and pitch with a lead and not give the other guy a chance to get back in the ballgame. You know, obviously, we'd all like to score in the first inning, but I think there are other ways you have to really keep the pressure on the opposition. The speed was really a real difference this weekend. Victor Scott laying down a few bunts and had a sacrifice that was important. Alec Burleson stealing a base, J.J. Weatherholt stealing a base. The little things to make the opposition feel uncomfortable. And I think that's what they're trying to work on. And if they can do that, they'll be even more fun to watch. And really, a lot of teams would just roll their eyes and say, oh, man, we got the Cardinals for 3. That's what you want them to have.
Do you have concerns about the bullpen at all, or do you need to get this thing kind of shuffled? I don't really either.
Too early. It's too early. And I think the fact that they're not in a rhythm yet, I mean, you know, you got your inning in spring training, but now the game speeds up a little bit more. And for some guys, it's a new environment. I think the one luxury that we have in the bullpen is you have a number of guys who have experience in closing. Last year, you really didn't have that. Some guys had to learn on the fly. This year, you have guys who say, yeah, I've done this before. And I'm comfortable with it. And Ollie has more options. He has more matchup opportunities that'll help him. I think the key here is, what does Justin Brewer bring to you as far as another lefty out of the bullpen? If he can give you something similar to what JoJo can give you, maybe a little bit of a different look velocity-wise, then now all of a sudden you have a back end that you can really feel comfortable with virtually every night of the week.
And we did talk about that rotation coming in. It seems like, and I agree with this point, that it could be a better rotation than we expect, even though it may not have looked like it this first weekend of the season. I think once the year goes on, Claibs, it's probably going to be better. Not that it's going to be world beating or anything, but I do think it will be better than most people think.
I would agree with you. I think right now, and we haven't seen Leahy or Pallante pitch, I think they're better off now than they were when they ended the season last year. You think about, you had two pitchers that were in almost half the games as far as the starters were concerned, and it just didn't go well for them. They just didn't have good seasons in Cardinal uniforms. We've moved on from that. We're going to get a look at Leahy. We're going to give Pallante another opportunity to establish himself. May will be better than what we saw yesterday. And obviously, McGreevy earned his stripes. Liberatore earned his stripes last year. So I like the direction of where they're headed. And the other key is you have some guys in Memphis that you're going to see Richard Fitz with before this is over with. You're going to see Gastelum. That's the guy you really want to watch as far as a relief pitcher. And also you're going to see Gordon Graceffo and I hope Packy Naughton. And so those are guys who all can really make a contribution because you're going to need more than what you see on the current roster as far as pitching is concerned.
Well, I love Gastelum. Love Gastelum. I agree. I think Leahy's steady as can be. I'm very curious to see Pallante, how he responds in this start on Tuesday. Final thing, Klaibs. Just, and I was up there yesterday, just being back in the radio booth. I mean, the tradition of the booth and to be with all of you there. What is that like to be back with your teammates up there?
Well, it's like homecoming. I mean, you know, we stay in touch during the off season, but just having a chance to lay eyes on guys when we know the games now count is always fun for me. And the visitors that we have come by, like yesterday, Michael McGreevy's dad came by just to say hello. And you just never know who's going to show up at our booth. And whether they're invited or not invited, we 98% of the time, we're glad to see them.
Oh, man. We love seeing you on the Gas House Gang. I'll tell you that. We appreciate you, buddy.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. We'll do this every Monday, and we'll have a good time doing it.
Outstanding. Mike Claiborne with us on the Gas House Gang. We will come back with Amy Markscores. The Blues, nobody told them they're out of the playoff race.
Boy,
they're in
here
this
we
thing.
Go with these guys.
What the heck is going on here? If only they could play a team that they're chasing tonight. Oh, wait, they are. The Sharks at 9 o'clock in San Jose. Amy Markscores is next.
Now back to the Gas House Gang.
Sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling. And by Overhead Door Company of St. Louis. Chesterfield Fence and Deck. And Budweiser.
On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
It is great. We were just talking off the air about all of our sponsors, all of our partners. Man, they are just lining up for the Gas House Gang. We love each and every one of them. It's going to be a fun year.
They won in so badly, they're punching us in the face. They're like, punch, hey, pay attention to me.
Nobody's punched me.
We think that's Amy Markscores. Nobody would ever do that.
I don't know, man. She could really get to you. And one of these days, she's gonna say something to the wrong person.
Uh oh.
To the wrong hockey player, and she is gonna punch you right in the head, Amy.
You know what? It might happen. You know how they have fight or flight or freeze. I'm the freeze.
You would freeze.
You would?
I just turtle shell.
Even though you played hockey, you can run really fast. Yes. You would pick the third option that you don't know.
Absolute turtle shell.
Yep.
I saw, I had someone on the air yesterday that never turtled, and that would be Chris Pronger.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Who it was pretty excited, actually, about how the Blues are playing. I mean, he talked about, you know, as a defenseman, and one of the elite defensemen, one of the greatest of all time, talked about how well they're playing defensively. I mean, Toronto looked really bad, but they only had 12 shots on Jordan Binnington.
Yeah.
And the Blues won that game. What's going on here? The Blues are 4 points out of a playoff spot.
Yeah, and you're right, and Chris Pronger's right about it being the defense, because the Blues, as they did last year, became the best team in March. They're the best team in March right now. They have the highest points percentage. They're 10-1-2 since March 5th. They're 11-2-2 in their last 15. They're winning these games. They're winning decisively. But what's really interesting, if you look at some of these team statistics, you look at the goals against, for instance, as a team, as you mentioned, number one in the league, and it's really not that close. So in the month of March, the Blues have let in 1.4 goals a game. Philadelphia is number two at 2.29.
Wow.
So the Blues are not letting in goals. If you look at goals for, the Blues are not scoring. Last week, they were tied for last or second to last in the league for goals for. Now they've kind of jumped up to around 20th in the league, but they're not scoring a lot of goals. So you look at special teams. Their penalty kill, number one in the league. Their power play, abysmal, tied for last. I mean, their offense isn't going, but their defense, they are just out-defending teams. And the offense that they do have is really coming from their top line. You look at Robert Thomas, Dylan Holloway and Jimmy Snuggerud. That's the Blues top line that's also, in the month of March, the plus-minus leaders for the entire NHL, 1-3.
Wow.
Is that line.
So after you trade Falk and Shen, or I should say Shen and Falk, after you trade those two guys, you've basically said, okay, we know what the season is, so let's start focusing on the future. Why are they playing like this now?
I know. It's really interesting because they are playing for each other. They're standing up and dropping gloves for each other, which is really something that Shen did. Shen led the way. So it's almost like once Shen was gone, there were other guys in the locker room who said, well, we can't let him down, or we've got to carry that legacy of that old school Blues hockey. I think a big part of it, the goaltending has finally shut the door on opposing teams. And you see this team playing with so much confidence in front of Joel Hofer, and now so much confidence in front of Jordan Binnington. I think that's a huge difference maker for this team. They're playing way more confident in front of their goaltenders, and somehow they're just playing as a team. They're working hard as a team.
It's not really out of the realm of possibility. I mean, it's crazy to say that.
They're 4 points out.
But they're
of a wild,
4 points yeah. out of a wild card spot, and they could jump over San Jose today. They're tied with San Jose.
Yeah.
So they could be, if they win today, just looking over these games here, they have San Jose, Winnipeg, Seattle, Los Angeles, Nashville all in front of them.
Yeah.
None of those teams play today except the Blues and San Jose. So the Blues could, if they win today in regulation, they will be tied with Seattle and 2 points out of a spot, and they will have jumped over San Jose and Winnipeg.
I know.
That's nuts.
It's nuts. I mean, I definitely held on to hope for too long this season. I thought, nope, they're going to turn it around. This is a good team. I know the Blues have, the goaltenders have struggled, but I know they have the best tandem in the league. I mean, I said it to the point where I was foolish, and finally, probably around right before the Olympic break, thought, Amy, you're living a lie. You're living a lie. There's no hope. And now now everything we thought they were, they have become in the month of March.
So it's even closer than you think, because they've only played 72 games.
Mm-hmm.
If they had played the same amount of games as Nashville and won those other two mm-hmm. that they played, they would be tied with Nashville for the second wild card.
Yeah.
Because Nashville's got 77 points. The Blues had played two more games like the Predators yeah. have, and they had won both of them. They'd have the same amount of points. So they would effectively be in a playoff spot
yeah.
right now.
It's really wild. But as Tom brought up all the teams in front of the Blues...
Lot.
Yeah. For being 4 points out of the wild card spot, there are a lot of teams in front of them. So you definitely have a good chunk of your fate in your own hands. If you can, we joked they basically would have to win out. Well, maybe. I mean, at this point, if you can, on your last 10 games, go 8-2, then I don't know. There's a good chance if the mushy middle ahead of you struggles that you do find yourself in a playoff spot. It's just that there's so many teams, it only takes one or two other teams to get hot, and then you're out of it.
Yeah.
But those other teams aren't hot. The Blues are the best team in the NHL in the month of March. Western Conference, Eastern Conference, they're the best.
The crazy thing is how different the East and the West is.
Oh, the
it's
East
insane.
Is insane.
Like the Eastern Conference, the number one wildcard team is Boston. They have 92 points.
Yeah.
Columbus has 88. If the Blues were in the East, they would be tied with Florida, the defending Stanley Cup champions who won't be winning it again, for next to last
yeah.
in the conference.
Which also might be the first time the Florida Panthers... Back-to-back Stanley Cup champions. Mm-hmm. This could be the first time that you have Stanley Cup champions 1 year, and then the next year you get the first draft pick. The Florida Panthers could be in a spot to get the first overall draft pick. If that's happened, I don't know about it. I'm not saying it hasn't, but that's pretty unusual. You very rarely see that.
It's very strange. What's coming up for you hockey-wise? Are you working with Curbs on Matrix Midwest?
Yep. Wednesday, 6 p.m., Matrix Midwest, offside hockey with Chris Kerber and me.
What's on the show tomorrow, Chris and Amy? What do you got going? What do you got cooking?
What do we have?
What do you got cooking?
Oh, tomorrow I can't tell
there's
you.
There's no way.
You can't. You're not allowed
it's
to tell
embargoed.
Me.
Yeah, there's a. It is embargoed until tomorrow at 8 a.m.
Cardinal baseball is not embargoed. It's coming up at 6:45.
You know, we have on this show tomorrow at 12.
Ollie
Marmol.
Ollie Byrne.
Ollie Tuesdays back tomorrow.
It feels like we're all back together.
Let's
the manager
go.
Is with us. It's
Let's
a new
go.
Season. The Gas House Gang on KMOX back tomorrow.